Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, I hope you know by now, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for one of them tomorrow morning. But there is various content added throughout the week, so continue to swing on over there, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, swing on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at...
Dan, Z-Man with
three. All right. So what are we talking about today?
Well, the Yankees won.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what it. I finally turned it on, and then I realized Michael Kay was announcing, and I turned it off. I was like, yeah, I'm done with this already. I can't even listen to him call pitches. It just, I can't stand the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the cool part about it was just taking a look at the stadium. I mean, they're making the minor league spring training stadiums pretty extravagant. Kind of cool to take a look at that park.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily for me, I mean, I caught the highlights on Intentional Talk. So I was able to kind of, you know, like they showed Didi's homer, you know, and then they showed Aaron Judge hit a homer as well. They showed a Clint Frazier double. And oddly, here's how you can tell, Dan, that this guy is really in with the network there. They showed a Gleyber Torres sacrifice fly.
Well, I mean, they
you know, now... Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, you know, I know the Mickey Mouse Network has been accused of it before, you know, kind of that East Coast bias. I'm starting to wonder about the MLB Network, Dan, because the Phillies scored four runs and there was not one Philly highlight in the you know, on the show.
Yeah, well, it was all the guys that didn't know.
Yeah, even so, you know, I mean, you can't tell me they didn't have a prospect who got a hit or, you know, because not a lot of people are going to know who, you know, all the Yankees prospects are. But, I don't know. You know, they did homer, so they actually hit two homers in the game. So, you know, maybe, maybe they could have showed one of them, I don't know who either guy was who homered. I just have last names here. It's Perkins, and the other guy's name is Stassi. I wouldn't have had a problem with seeing one of them or even maybe mentioning that they homered. You know, it didn't even come up. So, I haven't, you know.
That's what the MLB app is for. But, I think the biggest part with Frazier and Torres was because of the deals that were made more so than anything, you know, Miller to Cleveland, you know, that's how Frazier came to New York. And then the Aroldis Chapman deal brought Gleyber to New York. So I think that,
they're Yankees, you know, they're always going to talk about the Yankees, you know, I mean, it'll be the same thing with the Red Sox. Cause I know one of the other things I saw mentioned was, you know, the Red Sox played today. I don't remember who they played, or maybe did they play? Yeah, I thought they played today. Yeah, they lost to the Mets today, and the only player, like, I couldn't even tell you who was in the Red Sox starting lineup except for Andrew Benedetti, because he went 0-for-2, and they made sure to put that on the crawler. they didn't put anything about anything else. I don't know if any of the regulars got any at-bats or anything like that, and you know, it's just kind of like, okay, it's just going to be one of, you know, part of it is, of course, the fact that I'm extremely crabby because I have a headache anyways. And, you know, these are just the kind of things that I don't want to do. You know, I don't want, just don't want to deal with it. You know, it's like, I get it. You know, you guys are going to give him the American League Rookie of the Year already. He doesn't have to do anything else. Just, you know, hand him the frickin' award and, you know, let's get on with it. Cause they're going to be talking about him all year, even if he sucks. So.
Yeah. But I mean, I did like the fact that, you know, I think the Yankees, Joe Torre took it serious. They were the only game that, you know, broadcasted. Obviously they were on the YES Network. The Yankees did give you, I think, 3 or 4 innings of what their starting lineup is going to look like around the horn. So, you know, it was kind of nice to see everybody. And then, you know, A-Rod was down there hanging out with, you know, teaching some things to the young guys. So, you know, he's one of those don't do as I did kind of guys now. So.
Yeah. Well, now he is, yeah. You know, so. But I did hear one interesting thing baseball-wise, and I kind of want to get your take on it. Apparently, I didn't realize this last year, but, you know, baseball as a whole, team-wise, got a lot younger. And now, apparently, the veteran players have taken notice of this and started complaining that the younger guys are filling out the bottom of the roster instead of kind of the journeyman veteran guys who hang around. Obviously, Dan, this costs teams a lot less money. So they're, you know, of course, the big collusion word is going to start to come out. You know, to me, it's a business. And, you know, if you're paying, you know, some jackass like Jose Bautista, you know, $19 million a season for absolutely no reason, he didn't deserve it. You know, you got to cut corners somewhere, and it's going to be the bottom of the roster where it's going to get cut. You know, this is just business to me, but these guys are going to cry about it. I mean, what's your kind of take on it?
Well, I think if they cry enough and get the union involved, in which if they can, the owners continue to do it this way, I think it can actually work out to their advantage where they start capping guys. You know, because, I mean, of age.
Yeah, what I've never understood about this is if I own the team, you can't tell me who to sign. You know, it's my decision. I mean, you know, I still don't understand why the Blue Jays paid Bautista. I believe it's actually $18.5 million. He had a horrible season last year. He wasn't getting any offers from anybody else. He should be ecstatic that they gave him that money. You know, but I believe he's one of the guys who's mentioned it. Ian Kinsler is a guy from the Tigers who's came out. You know, again, he's a guy coming to an end of a contract who obviously wants to keep playing. But I think he realizes the writing is on the wall. And after this contract expires, you know, he's not going to get the big money deal he's looking for if he wants to keep playing. You know, he's not Bryce Harper. He's not Mike Trout. You know, he's not Clayton Kershaw. He's not Madison Bumgarner. He's not one of those marquee names. While he is a very good player, you know, that money's not going to be there for him. But, you know, I get, Dan, I can't feel sorry for a guy who's making, you know, $10, $15, $18 million a year. I just can't do it. I mean, you know, if you're not stupid, you can live out the rest of your life off 1 year of your contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I understand why teams do it.
Oh, but, you know, like you said, if he's got to pay Bautista a ridiculous amount of money just to be there, in which I still laugh at the fact that him going back there, everyone made it seem like it's this huge thing for Toronto, and I don't know how it made them better. I think it made them the same as they were last year. But at the same time, I mean, it's almost like the owners would like to have a cap. You know, and I'm just kind of going from what I would think. You'd like to have a cap so you don't have to pay certain guys so much money. But to get around, you know, to to get around doing that yourself, you get, like you said, the journeymen to complain and complain and complain to where they want to make it a way so that the money is spread out evenly, right?
Yeah, you know, pretty much. I'm looking here to see if I can find some kind of decent example here of what I. Here you go. Kinsler will actually be 36. I heard 34 earlier. He's got a $10 million club option with a $5 million buyout. So, you know, maybe there's a chance they pick up his option. But, like, you know, Brandon Phillips is going to hit the free agent market. He'll be 37. Can you really blame a team for not wanting to give him, you know, 3 years at, you know, $45 million when, you know, they can bring up a kid from their farm system to make the minimum and give him the experience, you know, they need him to get?
Well, and I hate to bring everything back to the Yankees, but isn't that what baseball learned from the Yankees when they signed A-Rod, Teixeira, and a handful of other 35-year-olds, just 5-6-year deals?
Yeah, well, let's hope somebody learned something. You know, there obviously are still, you know, incredibly stupid owners out there, just like there are, you know, every place else who are willing to, you know, throw money, you know, after money at the guys. So, you know, you just wonder, you know, how it kind of works out or, you know, what they'll do. I mean, you know, like Batista actually has an option here for next year at $17 million, if you can believe that, or they can buy him out for $500,000. I'm going to shake my head at that contract all year, but here's a good one, Dan. And now there's probably absolutely no way this guy gets on the free agent market, but Madison Bumgarner, who's only 28. All right. He's got a $12 million option for next year or a $1.5 million buyout. Obviously they're going to pick up that $12 million option. What is he looking at? He'll be 29 on the free agent market. Give me a price. Is he, Max Scherzer got 30 million a year. Bumgarner's as good, if not better. You know, if he, 35 million and that he's 29, you know, you could go 6-7 years with him. He's been very healthy throughout his career. You know, I mean, are we looking at some astronomical numbers from this guy for the Giants to keep him or anybody else to bring him in? I mean, San Francisco can't let him go, right? They've got to pay him.
I mean, like you said, it might be equivalent. I'm trying to pull up Scherzer's deal. I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, he got a lot of deferred money. So while the deal is huge, a lot of the money is, you know, backdated till till later on in the deal. But yeah, you know, you just wonder, I mean, you know, if, you know, even if you go 7 years at, you know, the average of, you know, 30 million, you're looking at a $210 million contract, you know, if, you know, at 35, you're looking at 245, you know, like I said, I mean, he's going to be a guy who deserves it. You know, it's not going to be one of these goofy things, you know, barring injury in these next couple of years. But like I said, he's been pretty healthy. Do they try to renegotiate now or maybe next year when he's in the last year of his deal to try to get it out of the way? But even still, I mean, what kind of number are you looking at for this guy?
I'm still, you know, like you said, 29 years old. I would look to extend it before it even gets that far. Got at least 5 years. The average of maybe, you know, what, 24, 25, if you can go that low.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you, of course, you got to wonder, maybe he'll give the Giants a break because, you know, it is, you know, his team and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it's still, you know, I mean, we're still looking at even with a break, you're still looking at a big, big number. You know, I know Strasburg gave the Nationals a little bit of a break. But, yeah, you know, I mean, he's that guy. I mean, it popped up right away when I started thinking about that and I saw his name. I don't know who he's represented by. Well, actually, because I'm on the wrong site now, because I forgot that our friends aren't doing that anymore. So I have to go to the other site we talked about yesterday and see if I can pick up there. But yeah, I don't think he's a Boris guy, is he? I don't remember.
My internet's slow, but going back to the Scherzer deal with 7 years, $210 million with a $50 million signing bonus.
Yeah, and now does it have the deferred money in there? Because I remember there was quite a bit of deferred money in his deal. So.
Yeah, well, he signed it in 15 and only got $10 million, and then $100 million was deferred. And, you know, over the last couple of seasons, he got 15, and then I think it's next year he's $30 million, and then 28, 24 or something.
So yeah, you just you got to think. I mean, again, Scherzer's a good pitcher, but if I've got to pick between the two, I'm taking Bumgarner. You know, I know you're a little jaded because you're a Giant fan, so you don't really count. He is represented by the Legacy Agency. I didn't know anything about them, so. But yeah, it's definitely, he's due $12 million this year, $12 million next year on that option, and then he hits free agency in 2020. You know, if he gets on the market, is somebody going to pay him, $35 million? Is he a $35 million a year guy?
I think possibly either that or, if you average that with a signing bonus, I'm sure that's what it would come out to.
Yeah, he's obviously the guy. I mean, who else, who else would you want? I mean, there's very few guys, if any, who are in his class. I mean, he's left-handed. He's a proven winner. He's definitely one of the guys. I mean, if you went around and conducted a poll, it's game 7 of the World Series, who do you want starting, out of today's pitchers? He's definitely a guy who's going to get a ton of votes, and he may even win it. So, you just got to wonder, what they would have to do or how they would have to do it to work that out or, get that taken care of. Because, that's a guy, if some other team can land him, you build your franchise around a guy like that, don't you?
Of course. I'm not sure.
At 29, 29, he's headed into his prime. So, that's the kind of guy a team like, Atlanta or Philadelphia needs to lock down this rebuild. Basically he's their John Lester. The Cubs did it with John Lester. He would be their guy. You throw everything you've got at him if he somehow reaches the market. Because that's how you win. He's your guide to winning. So, but yeah, I don't know how I got sidetracked on that off of veteran signings, but those things kind of happen. Just one of the other fun things we get going here. But you did mention, the Yankees did beat the Phillies 9-4. The other scores here, the Mets beat the Red Sox 3-2. The Orioles shut out the Tigers 2-0. The Brewers won 11-0 over the University of Milwaukee. The Giants beat the Reds 6-4. And then we do have the Twins and the Rays coming up later. So we're all set there. Got the games going now. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the Cubs sign Pedro Strop to an extension?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he got, I believe it was 2 years, Let me see. Yeah, he got he signed for 2018 with a club option for 2019. He'll make $5.85 million in 2018, and his club option is for $6.5 million with a $5,000 buyout. So, and this year he'll make $5.5 million. So it's just a gradual increase. But yeah, he's been pretty good for them. I know he was dinged up a little bit last year. You know, he ended up pitching in 54 games. He was 2-2 with a 2.85 ERA, and he had 27 holds. So, pretty solid year. If he's healthy, he's only 31. So, you know, if he's healthy the next couple of years, he'll be a good add for them.
You know, I guess I never really thought about it. Have they shored up a closer, or is that what's his name from Kansas City?
Yeah, well, you know, they brought in Wade Davis. You know, he'll handle the closing role. So I assume that means Strope and Rondon are the setup guys. You know, and then if there's any issue at the, you know, the back of the bullpen or anything, you know, Rondon, I guess, would be the next guy in line. But, yeah, they're, the bullpen is a tad shaky, I would say, you know, with the ads. They added Brett Anderson. I'm not quite sure what he'll do. I know Brian Dunsing was added. And I know of course, you got to get your former Red Sox in there. So they signed Koji Uehara. So, you know, they brought that guy's back. And I believe it's Rondon, Strope, Grimm, and Carl Edwards Jr. who are returning. So, it's a decent bullpen. I think Rondon is the big key there, you know, if he's healthy and if he can fit into that setup role, because I know he did it before, but, you know, he was a closer for a while too, and you just wonder if guys can, you know, if he can handle going back and forth.
You got to wonder what's going to happen with Carl Edwards Jr. then.
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought he was the closer in waiting. And I'm wondering if maybe they, you know, I don't know if maybe he'll get, you know, save chances this year, but I'm wondering if maybe they try to develop him, as kind of that guy. So, but, it's definitely something. Yeah, well, remember they decided he was too small to start. You know, even though he's got great stuff, he wasn't big enough to be a starter. So, but I got an interesting one here for you, Dan. And, you know, Mr. Fantasy gives me a hard time when it comes to, you know, our good old fantasy draft. Because, you know, Dan knows I love the guys who play multiple positions. I've always been a sucker for filling my bench with these guys. You know, the more positions you play, the happier I am with you. Well, here's a guy, Dan, I'm guessing I got to look at. Christian Bethencourt from the San Diego Padres. This year, Dan, Padres want to use him as a catcher, an outfielder, and a reliever. How's Yahoo going to score that for me, Dan, if I have Christian Bethencourt on my team?
I'm assuming that means middle reliever, and they're going to pull a Joe Madden so that he could stay in the game.
Yes. Yes, he definitely. I'm trying to remember. I gotta look here to see if he pitched last year at all. Yeah, he actually did not very much. He pitched an inning and 2/3 last year. Only gave up one hit, walked 3, did strike out 1. So obviously, a little bit of control issues they've got to work on there. But he didn't give up any runs. So, and he did hit a guy as well. But yeah, I mean, how, you know, is this kind of a maybe a new wave of things we're seeing here? You know, there's the Japanese player, and I'm going to forget his name. He's not going to play in the World Baseball Classic because he's hurt. I want to say his last name may be Otani. And, you know, he's a pitcher outfielder. And, you know, he plays the outfield full-time when he's not pitching. Betancourt is actually just going to be a backup. He's a backup catcher, a backup outfielder. As well as, you know, it looks like he's going to get some time in the bullpen. You know, as kids, Dan, you know, the guy used to play shortstop and pitch or catch or go to center field or wherever, you know, and then you get a selected position when you get to college or into the minors. Maybe do we get a variance now of some of these guys who, you know, can do both? You can hit major league pitching and you can strike guys out?
I mean, it would definitely make the case, like Justin Verlander, getting rid of the DH.
You know, was Carlos Zambrano ahead of his time, Dan? I think that's what this is all leading to.
He's way ahead of his time.
You know, and don't forget, even before Zambrano, the Cubs had Bruce Kieschnick, who didn't really pan out as either an outfielder or a pitcher. But in college, he was very good as both. It just didn't translate to the major league level. But yeah, you know, I saw that right away and I thought, man, Dan, this is my last pick in the Snake League draft if he's there. I'm going out and I'm putting Christian Bethencourt on my bench and I want to see what he does. And that's it. That's where I'm going. So now, you know, I gave it away. If you guys want him, he's all yours. You got to take him before I get to him. So.
Yeah, but you've got to wonder if they're just doing this experiment during spring training and to see where he would fit best.
Well, you know, he did, like I said, he pitched a little last year. So, you know, there is a possibility, you know, I mean, think about it. If he could actually be successful as a reliever, you know, that actually kind of opens up an extra roster spot for you because, well, you've got a reliever who's, you know, able to do these other things. You know, you're not slotted in to have, I think I read somewhere that, and I don't remember what team it is, but they're planning on carrying 14 relievers at the start of the year. So, you know, you just, you know, you're saving yourself positions with the more, you know, kind of versatility and, you know, stuff like that. I just thought it was really kind of cool. And like I said, I just wondered if, you know, maybe if this guy has some success, if teams start looking for this.
Yeah, you got to wonder if the Orioles will try to win.
Yeah. So... you know, and then I heard something else that really bothered me today, and I need to get your take on this. I went back to the MLB Network after the Yankees-Phillies game was over. Really, it was just the Yankees game because we're not talking about the Phillies, but that's another point. And they had some guy talking on there about how Major League Baseball needs to change batting average because it's not accurate. And his explanation was, he went on to say that if you get on by an error, it counts as an out against you, and it shouldn't. It should actually count as a hit. And then if you sacrifice, it doesn't count as an out against you, but it should. So those were two of the ways he would want to change batting average. Now, obviously, you know, they have all these other stats for it, you know, OPS, OPS plus, OPS plus slugging, OPS plus my birthday divided by Dan's height equals whatever. You know, why do we have to mess with one of the core statistics in baseball, Dan? I can't deal with these guys anymore. If I'd have been in the studio, I probably would have punched this guy in the face and got arrested.
I mean, it's about as significant as the 14 seconds that Commissioner Manfred just shaved off eliminating the intentional walk.
Only when the Cubs play the Nationals and Joe Manfred walks Bryce Harper. So,
well, you know, and I figured it out for Bryce Harper for Washington National games, you save approximately 30 minutes of time over 162 games.
Yeah. Yeah, the Nationals are going to be the only team that saves any time this year in their games because of Bryce Harper. So that's, you know, that's the only team that's been, games are going to be speeded up this year because of the rule. So, you know, just think how fast the Giants games would have been, Dan, if we had this rule when Barry Bonds was in.
It would have been hilarious.
You know, those games would have went so fast. They would have flew by.
Yeah, but I mean, by definition, an error is not a hit.
Right. You know, and the sad part is I didn't stick around because you know how much pissed me off. So I didn't stick around to listen to his explanation. You know, I already had a headache. I was already in a bad mood. I just didn't need to listen to some other, you know, jerkwad who probably had zero baseball talent growing up and all his friends laughed at him, explaining how he needed to change the game statistically because he was such a non-factor as a human being. That this was his only way to affect it when, like I said, we have 8,000 other ways to adapt batting average now. You know, I don't understand why we need to change something. I mean, they're already, you know, the MLB Network and their, you know, stats guys have already crapped all over the batting title. You know, it no longer means anything to win a batting title. So, you know, I mean, why do we talk about batting average? You know, it seems useless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, let's just take a guy, one star on the Astros, 200 hits. I'm not even looking at the numbers, but you figure it's anywhere between 560 and 640 at bat. You're telling me that the three times that he sacrificed, that should be counted as an at-bat, and it's going to make that big of a difference. It's going to make that big of a difference in batting average.
So yeah, all those should bat. Yeah.
You know, and the times he reached on error would be about, on average, you would say the average guy probably only reaches on error anywhere from 7 to 11 times an entire season if they're lucky. So you take away the sacrifices and you add the errors, and now you're left with about 6 at-bats extra.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, depending on the player, you know, I mean, there are guys who hit, you know, multiple sacrifice flies a year. You know, I mean, I think the league leader is about 23 maybe, you know, something like that. You know, I mean, it would really factor in on some guys, and it wouldn't factor in on other guys at all. So it's, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, great, this just doesn't, you know, it wouldn't equal out. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, great, you know, What does this prove?
Well, I mean, even by definition, would you only include sacrifice flies?
Bunts would count too. Yeah, bunts would count as well. So, you know, but yeah, here, well, you know, and it would really affect the American League. Here you go, Dan. Last year, the sacrifice hits leader in the American League. Wow, I actually thought they had more than this. Alcides Escobar from the Royals had 10. You know, obviously in the National League, it was a pitcher. It was actually Max Scherzer with 13. So, you know, we add, you know, 13 at bats to Alcides Escobar's, you know, number. So, you know, he had 682 plate appearances. You add 13. Let's see. Sadly, here it doesn't say how many times he actually reached base on error. That's not part of the statistical breakdown I have here. But, yeah, you know, we'll give him, you know, an average. Say it's 5. You know, okay, so we added, well, we added 13. We added 13 at-bats. We took away 5. Did those 8 at-bats make a huge difference in what he is?
So
right. It's just, you know, I mean, it was, you know, obviously there's a lot of stupid things that come up with, you know, this kind of stuff when guys are trying to invent new statistics and, you know, some of them are useful, you know, others, you know, like this, I mean, this situation, I mean, you know, this was just stupid. you know, and it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, great. Why are we even bringing this up? Why is this, you know, is this an idea? I don't remember if, you know, I can't even remember if he's got a book out or if he's got something going on. I just didn't care. But, you know, it was like, really? I I'm just so kind of frustrated with it. It's just like, yeah, great. Okay, go away. So.
Should have read it done.
So I, you know, yeah, you know, why do these guys keep coming up with this stuff, Dan?
Headline grabbers.
You know, it's, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, great. You know, here we go. Some other guy who's got a great way to fix the game. This will really fix the game. Okay, that's enough of that. All right, I got to get back to this because this fits into you a lot more than me here. And we kind of started talking about this yesterday just as the music went off and we had to go away. You know, we had a week where the NBA had went away. They were on their All-Star break. You know, baseball wasn't really the headline grabber because spring training was kind of getting going. It was really just pitcher and catcher. And the NFL has oddly been quite quiet this offseason. Apparently nobody's been arrested yet or something like that. And, you know, what I asked you, and you were kind of answering as the music went out, did the NHL miss a chance to kind of get front and center? Or, you know, do they have the, I don't know, the wherewithal, the, you know, I don't even know how to put it. Maybe not the social media presence. What could they have done, Dan? But I don't feel like they really did much.
Well, this is when they should have had their stadium series scheduled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not a bad idea. But you know, because like I mean, when you think about it, I mean, obviously summertime. You and I think baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, football takes over the fall, and of course, when you hear Thanksgiving, you think football. The NBA has now taken over Christmas Day. You know, and I know the NHL is trying to do it with New Year's Day for their stadium series, but, you know, if they want to do that, I mean, here was a golden opportunity, Dan, you know, maybe some, you know, big-time rivalry games or, you know, Capitals-Penguins, something they could marquee, maybe an NBC primetime game on actual NBC, not the sports network. You know, you're more of a media guy, you know, kind of more media friendly than I am with this. You know, I'm just dumb and old school and turn on the TV. You know how to app everything and search everything and find what you're looking for. How would you have handled it? I mean, with the exception, you know, besides the outdoor game, was there something else they could have done?
Put more on. I mean, to be honest, I didn't even think about that until you brought it up. But, you know, the NBA All-Star weekend, you know, it was a little, the dunk, the 3-point, the intermission with, you know, the donating to what's-his-name's foundation, you know, it was all right. But by the end of that night, I ended up searching through On Demand and watching Snoop and Martha. Because there was nothing else on. There was literally, on a Saturday night, there was one game on. And that was, I think it was the Penguins who lost. Like Columbus or something. I can't remember exactly. But, you know, I was flipping back and forth between the NBA and that. But like you said, more marquee games. Maybe not even marquee, but just saturating the market. Giving a free weekend of NHL on ice. You know, and like you said, capping it off on a Saturday night, or even, you know, especially Saturday night with an NBC game. But I think that, you know, and odd as it is, the challenge with that Sunday night was the fact that The Walking Dead is back. It has become like an American cultural icon for TV, I guess you could say. They stopped the show simply because of the NFL, and then they brought it back as soon as the Super Bowl was over, and that's what everyone watches. So you could have got away with even 6 o'clock games. But like you said, I mean, there was a bye week. The same week, it seemed like that there was the NBA week off.
So, yeah, you know, I kept looking at it, and it just kept – I kept thinking, man, you know, there's a great opportunity here. And they just – they didn't seem to capitalize or – you know, and I know I – now you were saying they're working with MLB, right, the MLB network or something?
Well, that was, you know, more so for the – they share the studio, but part of it was, you know, working with the online platform. You know, they've kind of reamped and put all their stuff, got it better, you know, more in tune with the MLB because, I mean, you and I both know you go on Major League Baseball's network and their website, everything's there. I'm like, they're trying to find anything on the NBA website. Why do you even have one?
Yeah, you know, maybe they could have even tried the thing like, you know, the NFL did, where, you know, you put a game on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it seemed to me like they kind of, you know, it's like there was a big opportunity there, and yeah, they just didn't really take a hold of it. But there actually were a couple trades made today. I know the NHL trading deadline is coming up, and one of them featured locally here. The Blackhawks made a trade. They acquired Tomas, I'm guessing this is Jerko, from the Detroit Red Wings. They sent a third-round pick to the Red Wings. And then to make room for him on the roster, they shipped Vinny Nostroza to the minors. So that was the one. At the other one, I got to pull the other straight up here. The Stars sent Patrick Eves to the Anaheim Ducks for a conditional second-round pick. So yeah, a couple trades getting going there. You know, the NHL. I don't quite know when the deadline is, but I believe it's coming up. Coming up very, very soon. I always kind of forget when, you know, all these dates are. I can never remember when the damn, you know, here it is. It's the last Monday in February, so February 29th, so 5 days away. We have the NHL deadline coming up, so we'll have to see if more moves are being made. And there are four games on the schedule tonight, Dan. We got the Edmonton Oilers at the Washington Capitals. There you go. The Calgary Flames at the Florida Panthers, the Ottawa Senators at the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Arizona Coyotes at the Dallas Stars. And it looks like, well, you'll see, Dan, if you lived in Canada, you could get the Capitals game because nationally it's on TSN. So I believe that's the Canadian Sports Network. So, you know, is it hockey night in Canada? Well, I guess technically isn't every night hockey night in Canada? So, but yeah, it's actually, believe it or not, it's actually called the Sports Network, Dan. How about that? but you know, since I kind of tailored off into channels there, I was wondering if you, you know, I know we don't talk a lot about this, but you know, when Fox Sports 1 started, I was kind of excited for it, and I really liked their studio highlight show. They called it Fox Sports Live, and I read yesterday that they canceled it. They got some new upper management in, and they canned it. They had really reformatted it, and the show kind of became a joke. It was the two hosts sitting in leather chairs, kind of showing highlights and kind of bantering back and forth, and I can understand why they canceled that version of it because it just really sucked. And then they also canceled the other show I actually watched. There's a show called Garbage Time where the host was Katie Nolan. She used to be a big internet presence sports-wise, and they put her on. But I guess they're not getting rid of her, but the two guys who hosted Fox Sports Live were Jay Onright and Dan O'Toole. I guess they're both being let go when their contracts expire here real soon. Can they, you know, you as a, you know, a broadcast major, you know, you're the smart guy here. Can they format a TV show that can compete with a Sports Center? You know, I mean, they are a sports network. Don't they need something like that?
I would think they could, but, you know, like you said, I think what happens is you've got all these big wigs and big shots up top, and all they forget about the fact that you got to put the sports on, and they worry about putting all this other crap on. You know, I felt like the guys with the leather chairs, I stopped watching it because I'm like, is this, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not looking for two guys to sit there and, you know, at a desk like Dan Patrick and Boomer did back in the day. But it just felt like a joke to me. It felt like nothing they, not that they didn't take it serious, but I just felt like it was almost a segment we would see on Mad TV, which is no longer on. It's like a Saturday Night Live with sprinkled in, you know, celebrities. And that's the other thing that drives me nuts. Yeah, I get it, have a celebrity once in a while, but I don't know. It should be about the sports, and that's part of the reason I've pretty much tuned out of all the other quote sports talk shows or highlight shows, because they don't really give you much. You know, like you said, you turn on anything nowadays, Mothership, MLB Network, and unless they're talking Yankees, they're not really talking much of anything else. Yeah, the MLB Network does the 30 for 30, which is cool. You know, and it's not the ESPN series. It's 30 clubs in 30 days. But outside of this month, once spring training's over, you're not really going to learn much about the other 30 teams. You're just going to learn about, watch the Cubs and, you know, I'm sure they'll highlight the Cubs, the Yankees, and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And Mike Trout.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I know Fox Sports 1 is trying. They hired Skip Bayless to continue doing the same show he was doing on the Mickey Mouse Network. You know, they gave him obviously a different partner. He's with Shannon Sharp, and it needed a different name. I think it's Undisputed. I've never watched it. I'm not a Skip Bayless fan. I'm also not a Stephen A. Smith fan, so I don't watch the one he does with, I think Max Kellerman is the guy who replaced Bayless. You know, and then they brought over, you know, good old Colin Cowherd, who is just a guy I can't stand. I don't understand how the guy's got a job. I guess maybe he's controversial. And he does a show with Jason Whitlock called Speak for Yourself. It's basically just the ripoff version of ESPN's Pardon the Interruption. But I've never seen that either because, like I said, I'm just not a Cowherd fan. Those are some of the changes they've made. And like I said, they're basically just rip-off shows. I get it that, you know, it's hard to come up with new ideas for sports shows. I mean, you know, it's you got to talk about the same topics no matter what show you're on. And, I mean, anybody who's watched an ESPN show or probably listening to you and I talking about the same topics they already heard. It's just getting the different takes on it. But I don't know. Is there anyone out there they could bring in that would attract your attention to watching a Sports Center type show? You know, I know we talked a little bit about, you know, ESPN really pushed that, you know, the six with, you know, Michael Smith and Jemele Hill. And I got to tell you, I've watched it. It's a horrible show. Is there somebody, you know, you're kind of up that late sometimes. I'm normally not. Is there somebody you would turn on to get sports highlights from without, you know, I know you're going to say, well, I just go online. Besides that, is there somebody else you would, you know, gravitate to?
Not really. I mean, I think it, you know, and I think that's the problem. you know, and to maybe give you an analogy that makes sense to you and I, it's almost like referees and ring announcers in independent wrestling. I'm not focused on you. You're not my focus. I didn't pay to see you. I paid to see the sports. You know, what Boomer did and Dan Patrick, God love them, they did it. And it was groundbreaking with the back. But, you know, like we said, 30 years later, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
We know it's going to be a home run because, i.e., the name of it is called the Home Run Derby. So I think a lot of them are going to go out of the park. You know, and that's the problem. They focus way too much on that kind of stuff. I mean, and then it's their opinion. After a while, I don't give a two pennies about your damn opinion. And I think that's one of the reasons Mike and Mike seem to survive. You know, I mean, we don't have a mother. Our ESPN here in Chicago, Chicago Radio, has Mike and Mike on. If I'm driving to work, which I only drive 5 minutes to the bus, but you know what I mean? If I'm driving to work or I've got a day off, I could turn the TV on, turn the radio on, and these guys are on every morning. And it's because they're not pushing their agenda, their opinion down everybody's throat. And I think that's what guys like Cowherd and several others forget, and is that it's about the games, it's about the sports, and it's about the people watching. It's not about you. You know, how many times have you been turned off by our local CBS affiliate being, you know, the Score? And I'll say it a million times. If I was at a job interview and they asked me, what could I do different, you know, from anyone else of the, you know, the show times, well, I would make it more about the people that listen to the show and not let them call in to turn them in and make them sound like complete jerk-offs. Can we say that?
Yeah.
I guess it's the internet.
Sure.
So that's the nicest way I could put it. Because, I mean, you know, oh, well, let's bring this guy in because we want to make him sound like a total jackass and make ourselves feel better. And then
I stopped listening to the afternoon show because of that.
Yeah. And one of the hardest things about listening to the station as a whole is the agenda that's brought on by every single show host. I mean, why would I want to listen to a radio station if I had a, let's just say I'm back in the metal shop working, you know, working hard, which is where you're going to get a lot of your blue collar guys listening to a little bit more sports radio because you're working and you're listening. Why would I want to listen to 12 hours, three or four different shows when everyone's just talking about how Jay Cutler is the whole worst and needs to be traded or needs to be retired, but doesn't have any other solution to the issue? Oh, well, and it drives me nuts. 12 hours, and you can tune in throughout the day and go, oh, wow. So they're still on the Jimmy Garoppolo coming to Chicago, despite the fact that Boston's not letting him go. Despite the fact that he's
all right, well,
quarterback five games. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
All right, well, tell me if you would watch this show, Dan. This is an idea Fox Sports is floating around. They're talking about, now this would be a morning show. They don't have a time frame for it, but it would be with Chris Carter, the former NFL wide receiver, Nick Wright, who I don't know anything about. Apparently he co-hosted a week of the Colin Cowherd show while he was out of town with Chris Carter. And they really liked the job they did. And the third person in the mix would be Josh Elliott. You know, he's a former, you know, Mickey Mouse Network host. I believe he was on Good Morning America. And then I think he just got canned by CBS. And they're saying it would be, here's the tagline, Dan, the pitch. It's the Today Show for sports.
Does that mean we're going to have weather in there, too?
I don't know. But now you mentioned Mike and Mike. This article I have up, it's from Philly.com. They said the Mickey Mouse Network itself is considering a new morning show with plans that involve moving Mike Greenberg and from the popular Mike and Mike radio program to a new program that would combine elements of SportsCenter with a typical morning show. So do you find it odd they would break that team up with as much success as it's had for them?
Yeah, I mean, generally what happens with that? You know, and I hate to bring up wrestling again because that's just, it's easy to go back to. But when you talk about great tag teams and things like that, you break them up and what happens? One takes off and the other one goes straight downhill, or you just never hear from either one of them again. But it's usually the other, the latter. And then they rejoin, they team up again, and, you know, things work out again. I get shuffling things up, but, you know, you brought up the Chris Carter thing. The issue I would have with it is I would watch the hell out of that or listen to it during the NFL season because of Chris Carter's knowledge about football. You know, listening to him when he was with Mike and Mike, you're like, wow, this guy really brings, you know, an unbiased perspective. And not to say that I don't know that he knows anything about other sports, but, you know, what happens when it's baseball season or the NBA? He doesn't know the game like that. He's a football guy. And then we're just rehashed with the same old, oh, well, this is the topic that everyone's talking about, so this is what we got to talk about. And I get it that showing 3 hours of highlights isn't really going to, you got to do a little bit more. But again, when you have a 3 hour show and each hour you just kind of rehash what you did the first hour or the second hour, it just ends up turning into the same crap for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, I mean, for football season, yeah, it would probably be fantastic. But, yeah, what, Josh Elliott's not a former player. Like I said, I don't know anything at all about this Nick Wright. I'm guessing if he co-hosts the show with him, he's probably just a broadcaster. So, I don't know. I will tell you, I really like Katie Nolan. So whatever they do with her, I'll watch her. You know, she's got a really good perspective on sports, especially coming from the female side. And she's actually got really good comedic timing. I don't know if you ever watched that Garbage Time show that she hosted there, but it was pretty cool. But yeah, you know, I mean, I guess it's something, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on and see what they come up with. But yeah, I was more shocked by the end of the article there when they said they were considering breaking Mike and Mike up.
That's kind of, it's shocking.
Yeah, I don't understand that unless, you know, maybe it's one of those things like, you know, the good old Mike and the Mad Dog. What? You know, it's kind of like you and I. I mean, oh, wait a minute. All right, the music means it's time for Dan and I to head out. Now, Dan's taking the weekend off, but Mr. Fantasy and I will be here Sunday at 10 a.m. Chris Olmstead is also going to join us for a little NASCAR talk. Yes, it's that kind of time of year. So tune in for that again, 10 a.m. right here, Sunday morning. You know what to do while we're away, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the stuff there. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well, so hunt us down if you like. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.